other people without understanding. And how difficult it is to talk to them. And he goes down into chapter 2, and 2 and 3, and he says in 4 right there, listen, no, you don't understand, you don't know that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Because what they're doing is they're rebelling against God's severity. Which we all do. If the bosses get tight, or if the parents get tight, or whatever, we tend to rebel against that stuff. We still do. We're the baby boomer generation, the Vietnam War stuff. We've been against establishment. We know what it is to rebel against authority. We kind of taught that in our generation or my generation or whatever, which I guess makes for being a good Paul follower. And so, 1 Corinthians 1:19. Let's just look at, thank you. Keep saying yes once in a while. The sound is there. 1 Corinthians 1:19. We're just looking at some verses again, but the pleasures of serving Paul is the fact that we have an understanding. In order for us to pay the price, we have to have an understanding or people quit. And I wonder if some of that understanding is lacking with folks, because there are a lot of quitters here lately. Verse 19. God says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, when we talk to people about Paul, are we not talking to people that have a wisdom? They're an educated bunch, usually. I'm talking to a principal, an educated guy, you know. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Well, according to the modern Christians, they kind of use the wisdom of this world within their little testimony's sake and within their little lifestyle. So no, you know, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But yet these modern Christians are mixing world's wisdom and world's manner of life with what they would consider to be wisdom. Going back to Proverbs, you know, going back to the Gospels, and here's what would Jesus do, that kind of a thing. Yet in verse 22 it talks about, you know, the Jews require a sign in Christianity today. All these Christians are looking for signs. Something happens that proves, see, God was in that. See, God blessed me there because of what I did. See, God is blessing my family with a good job and money and income and all this kind of stuff. But what about the possibility of the Bible says that all these miracles and signs and wonders are not coming from God, but of the devil? Ho, 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 you got to be kidding. How could you say something like that? Well, it's about the scriptures. It's about Paul's teachings. He teaches us that. And, you know, you guys are prepping yourself for the coming of a Jesus, but he's not the Jesus. He is a Jesus. He's the Antichrist. And you're all repping up, prepping for that thing. And so all these things you're talking about, all this wisdom and all this stuff, you have no understanding. You haven't got a clue of what's going on in your little church there. You know, you don't know what you're being taught. He teaches good. He teaches good stuff. He's got good sermons. He mentions Paul once in a while. So he's a Paul guy? No, he's not a Paul guy just because the guy mentions Paul once in a while. I bet he never mentions Titus chapter 2. I bet he never mentions 1 Timothy chapter. I can't remember. I got to say it, though. I bet he doesn't talk about 1 Timothy chapter 5. I bet he doesn't talk about 1 Timothy chapter 2. Unless it's a divorce issue. Then he wants to bash the preacher for being divorced or Ruckman or something. We're not looking to that, though. Ephesians 4:18, let's look at Ephesians. We're dealing with people that have really, like I said last week, been deceived. They've been lied to, and they believe it. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened. This is what we're dealing with. They have maybe this was somebody, one of the ladies in the school has, for this Bible club, said she used to be a King James only lady. Well, what happened to your understanding? Did it get darkened? I mean, we're talking about, I'm just kind of playing it by ear here. 1 Timothy 1:7. 1 Timothy 1:7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Then he goes on and talks about the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Da 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 da. What are we talking about? We're talking about talking to people that don't have a clue. Now, this understanding that they don't understand that we can have, it is available to them. If people think, where is God? He's not there. He's not blessing me. He's not watching after me. He doesn't want me to get, he has no way to teach me understanding. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 14. It's there. It's there for you. It's there for anybody. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Yes, this understanding is what helps us grow up, which we'll talk about here pretty soon. You put that together with Ephesians chapter 4, and the purpose and all that stuff, here, where he says here, henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We're out there waiting to get us here. But this whole thing here is it helps you grow up as a Christian. And everybody wants to stay a kid. Why? Because kids go for the flesh. They're just fleshly oriented. And as we have said and proved many times over, the music in the churches is fleshy. The preaching is fleshy. The clothes they wear is fleshy. It's all about how they feel. And the Antichrist will be coming with fleshy music. And it's all about feeling. And he warns that in Ephesians 4 as well. So to grow up away from this stuff is to take a stand and be able to authoritatively prove it from a King James Bible rightly divided. And you know, they just don't get it. They don't want to get it. How many kids want to be taught, like if I'm going to teach the 7th and 8th graders here some of this stuff, they haven't got a clue. Well, I also know that they don't have a clue because they don't have a place to have a clue. They got no brain, it's a brain cloud up in their thinking department. So we've been over all that stuff, and God said the same thing to the Israelites in the desert. Anybody 19 or under, he didn't hold responsible because they're just teenagers. So Ephesians 1:18, their understanding is darkened. Colossians 1:9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's available. Paul prays for it for his people. If we are looking to Paul like I believe we have, and we have spent all these years going over this stuff, and we haven't really bunny trailed off a whole lot, it seems to me that we ought to have a pretty decent understanding, the spiritual understanding that he's talking about here. Are we filled, or are we being filled with the knowledge of his will? His will is to follow Paul, by the way. His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, I'm sure we all don't kind of follow through with that totally. Neither did Paul. Romans chapter. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. We ought to be able to claim that verse, those verses. We've been at this long enough. So when we talk to people about this stuff, as I said before a couple times already, they don't get it. And the Bible describes these people that don't get it. And here's the key. Well, first of all, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Here's Paul again, verse 1, for I would that ye knew what great conflict, there's his passion again, I left that one out this morning, I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. They just have this love they try to hug each other with. Do you remember that guy back in, Bob, back in, Tushy that went around hugging everybody. He wanted to come and hug all the ladies in the church. And I had to stand in front of him and be threatened by him that if he's not going to know, he's not going to be doing this. Remember that guy? And if I had my gun on me that day, I probably would have drawn it on him, which is a good thing I didn't. The guy's a nutcase. But these people have this so-called love. But that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom. See, now we find that today in our King James Bible. All the treasures and wisdom of wisdom and knowledge, King James Bible. And this, that's how King Jamesy I am. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Stay in that King James Bible, or you'll be enticed away. You'll be beguiled. Okay, so, yes, this full assurance of understanding, it's there for us. And we already read Ephesians 1:18 again. Let's look at it one more time. Ephesians 1:18. No, we didn't. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. Not so we can have a power of miraculous lifestyle, but because of what he's done. Separate us from our flesh, separated us from sin, and took care of the sin and imputes to us. That's a power there. It's not something about some power of being a Christian. All these people claim to have a power. No wonder the world thinks that people are weird. Because then it doesn't come through, and then they say, well, that just isn't what God wanted. I thought you're supposed to know that kind of stuff. But let's look at this thing. Let's kind of conclude this thing already. And I've talked about understanding. I just want us to be able to realize when we're talking to somebody, I've got to realize, no sound again. I just lean back when it's not anything to do with anything. Sure, I get to buy another headset, I suppose. Is the sound back if I lean forward? And has the sound returned yet? Well, that's exciting. Time to order another headset. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Where does this understanding come from? And this is where the devil will knock out the sound for sure. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Fantastic verse here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Consider what I say. And who's the saying here? Who's the sayer? That's Paul. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Bottom line, you want an understanding? You got to look to Paul. And I know people just can't stand that thought. Is it that simple? Well, actually, yes, it is that simple. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Our kids, who someday are going to wonder what's going on in this world because it isn't what they thought it was going to be, what they wanted it to be, and they're going to remember dad or mom or somebody that said, you guys just need to learn, look to Paul. I thought we're supposed to look to Jesus. Yes, but if you look to Paul, you'll look to the right Jesus, the risen one, who's coming back, Revelation 19. Not Peter's Jesus, not the church's Jesus, not the gospel's Jesus. We need to look to the risen one. Romans 11:25 says right here, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Whoops. Skip a little second. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Okay? That's all about Paul. Now go back and read that part I left out. Lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Christians today, or people today, are wise in their own conceits. And how can that happen? They're ignorant of this mystery. They're ignorant of this whole thing about Paul and the Jews and the Gentiles. That whole thing. Look at Romans 12:16. God, I want Romans 12:16. What do I want? Romans 11:25. Romans 12:16. 12:16. Is that what I want? Sure doesn't look like it. But let's look at it anyway. Be of the same mind toward one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. That's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with an educated people that have no understanding. Finish it up with 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 3. I'm not moving. Hope the sound is still there. Somebody type yes if it is. 1 Corinthians 14. I will order my headset this week. Oh, joy. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 7. 1 Corinthians 14:37, probably 3 and 37, I guess it would be. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, which everybody thinks they are, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There it is again. You want to have an understanding? You want to be the spiritual person you think you are? You've got to acknowledge what? Acknowledge Christ? No, you actually got to acknowledge Paul. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Yeah. You got to turn to Paul. All these born-again Jesus-following people are not right. It's wrong. Is Paul your Savior? No, Paul's not my Savior. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is the foundation that Paul has to lay for me. Not Peter, not John, not James, none of those guys. Galatians 6:3. If any man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So we've got people that are deceived with this religion. They have a conceitness about them. They think they're just doing so well, God will bless them. And they have no understanding based on Paul. Now, either get rid of the books of Paul in your Bible, or look to Paul. You can't do both. Acknowledge Paul is to be your prophet, your apostle. Acknowledge that Paul is the one that will get you to the risen Christ. Nobody else will. And God will start giving you an understanding if you get into that book and rightly divide and read that thing. And if it doesn't make sense, I guess listen to the preacher. Listen to me. Tell those people to give me a call. Give me a look up. Whatever. I don't have anything spectacular. I've just been doing this for long enough that I just see the simplicity of it all. So I'm no knocking dead pastor, preacher guy. These guys that are out there that the Paul guys follow, there's still a conceitness in that bunch. There's still something wrong in that bunch. And it does, like Paul says, it's a heaviness and a sorrow that people would get a hold of the Paul thing from us and then turn to these other guys because they got gooder words and fairer speeches, I guess. I don't know. They just talk about the grace of God, the love of God. That's what they seem to talk about a lot. And yeah, it's there, but boy,